This is an ad by BetterHelp. What's your perfect night? Is it curling up on the couch for a cozy, peaceful night in? Therapy can feel a bit like that, your comfort place where you replenish your energy. With BetterHelp, get matched with a therapist based on your needs entirely online. It's convenient and suited to your schedule. Find comfort this season with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mystery to beat conspiracies, curiosity, spin the tales of Daniel and Robosaur, defy explanation if you're wanting more. All my sightings, government denies, J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims, they say there's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand, manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie, we see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, governments involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Welcome back to the shack. We're back again.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Wilbur. And we're joined with a special guest in studio today for the first time in a while since we had Ronnie in here, which at this point...
I have no idea.
I don't know either. It's been a while. I hope he's still alive.
He's probably dead because he challenged the pickleball gods.
No, that was... Oh, no, that was Ted Watkins.
Oh, that was Ted.
This is our fourth guest in studio. That's right.
In studio? It's only our second.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Fourth guest on the show. Not many get onto the shack.
It's hard to find the shack.
It is. It is. It's hidden. It's hidden for a reason.
So you're going to introduce?
Yes. So today we are joined. I'm just going to give you her name. Marcy today has joined us in studio. Welcome, Marcy.
Hi. Glad to be here.
It's going to be fun. Oh, gosh. I feel bad for you. This is the dumbest show on the internet.
It's one of them. It's up there.
All right. Well, I can vibe with that. That's all right.
Well, good.
So you came to us. Well, I don't even know. I was no part of this. No, it's a really fun topic today. We got a really lighthearted, fun topic. We're going to talk about how to get... You should buy your kids a pet dog for Christmas. They're not that long commitment. And how to get them. We're going to talk about the best pricing.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That sounds fantastic. Accurate.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you can be sarcastic.
No, I'm just kidding. No, I seen you had posted about like a bulldog that had recently passed.
Yep, we actually had to euthanize him. He was one that came from an Amish puppy mill. We had the understanding that he would need surgery, palate surgery. He had an elongated soft palate, so the palate goes over there. Well, his went over his trachea. It's not supposed to cover the trachea, so he was not breathing appropriately. But turns out he actually had heart disease, and his trachea was too small, so he just was not going to thrive. He would have suffered and died. So,
failure to thrive.
Yep.
And he was born that way.
He was. That is the result of inbreeding and just...
Gosh.
Just breeding for greed, essentially. They're not breeding for breed standard or to improve the breed standard.
Why don't we... Because I think a lot of people... everybody knows the word puppy mill, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't think a lot of people actually understand... what that term means. So would you kind of describe, just to a general or whatever, just kind of what a puppy mill means?
It is kind of like a general term for just inhumane conditions and just improper breeding. So you have your backyard breeders that are just like your buddy that you know that's like, hey, I got this dog. I'm going to get a litter out of it. That's what we'd call like a backyard breeder. They don't really know what they're doing. They maybe have the right heart, their head's in the right place, but they just don't have the proper knowledge to be doing it appropriately. So that's what you have is a backyard breeder. Then your puppy mills are the ones that are breeding them for production. They're making a lot of money off of this. They don't necessarily care about the animal. It's a paycheck to them. So that's what I mean when I say puppy mill. And it's honestly, it's not always large scale. People seem to think that it's like these giant farms and there's just hundreds of dogs. And that is out there for sure. We see a lot of that. But around here in such a small rural community, it's more small scale. It's anything that is five or more breeding bitches, that's considered a commercial breeding kennel. So they have to be licensed with your state agricultural department, so like ODA, or they have to be licensed with USDA, which is the U.S. Department of Agriculture, if they have five or more. Anything under that, though, they really don't have any regulations they have to meet. So they're still a puppy mill. They're still breeding for production. They just don't have any laws they have to follow that anybody's checking up on.
Mm-hmm. So they can kind of skirt by most of the stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, because I'm glad you said that, because I think most people have in their head that mega operation. You know, there's 500 dogs and there's a barn somewhere, you know, in Ohio.
Right. That definitely is a problem.
Right. They exist, but it's not just that, you know. We were sharing a story before we got on air about when I got my red heeler. And that was from one of those, it was from the Amish. We're going to talk about that later. And she had worms hanging out of her and everything, and paid $10 for her, because that's all they were doing is just breeding as many red heelers. They only had probably five or six adult dogs you could see. But they always had red heeler puppies for sale. Always. And that one was like sick and stuff. So mom let us buy it, and then she lived. I can't tell you how many times mom bought an animal because she felt bad for it. And just like, well, he still can die at home in the warmth.
Right. Yeah.
Never died.
Was that Lucy or?
That was Lucy.
Okay.
The goat was Miracle that we did that with. We bought for $1.
Oh, nice.
Because it was just infested with lice. It was starving. It was like couldn't stand.
And you brought it back?
Well, mom bought it so it could die in the car because it was so cold. It was a February auction. So it was freezing outside. So mom's just like, well, just
die in the car.
Well, just cause so it can pass away somewhere warm.
Right, yeah.
So mom's like, just go put it by the heater. And then we got back and it wasn't passed away. And so we brought it home and dad gave it a bottle. And then that was a 400-pound doe that would break into our house because she thought she was a dog.
Oh, good. A success story.
I think Marcy's mom ended up with her, actually, now that I think about it.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
when we left the farm.
We like our scratch and dent animals, for sure.
But yeah, I'm glad you said that with the puppy mills. So this is a huge problem that I don't think people really understand how many dogs are being produced. Like, if you go to Craigslist, there's always, like you said, the backyard breeder, where, you know, they may get that one litter or whatever, and I've always wanted to try. I breed animals. It's, you know, not a hobby, but animal husbandry is a thing that I've done a lot of. So I've not messed with a ton of mammals outside of the large livestock. But reptiles and fish and amphibians, But I guess, how do you kind of see, or is there keys to kind of tell puppy mills apart? Or I guess, where do you want to go with this?
So, yes, there is such a thing as ethical breeding. It's very few and far between, though. I know some breeders that they do an excellent job. They're breeding to improve the breed standard. They're showing their dogs. They're doing all of the appropriate husbandry. They're feeding their dogs appropriate diets. They're keeping up on vaccines and their monthly heartworm, flea, and tick preventative, all of that good stuff. That's what they should be doing. And there are some things that you should be doing that are breed specific as well. Like, some dogs are more prone to like hip dysplasia. So their hips are just going to break down and they're going to have trouble getting around as they get older. So they should be doing OFA radiographs. So there's a department that will evaluate your radiographs and see if that dog is prone to hip dysplasia and if you should breed it or not. They're going to grade your radiographs. Those are things that you can do. It's expensive. It is expensive. But if you're going to be breeding dogs, you're going to have a lot of cost wrapped up.
It's going to be expensive.
Yeah. So there's things like that. You can also do genetic testing for dogs that are predisposed to things like bulldogs. They have all kinds of different diseases that like to carry. Any, honestly, of your brachycephalic dogs, so those dogs with the smashed skulls, those are your brachycephalic dogs. They have a lot of issues. A lot of issues. They like to get allergies. They also obviously have breathing issues. So you can test them for certain things and see if they're going to carry that on. And if they are, it's just not a dog you should have in your breeding program. That's something you should be looking at. So, yeah, you can breed ethically, but we don't see a lot of that.
Especially in our part.
Yeah.
No, it's – so I guess on the outside, how would somebody tell?
You can ask for those things. If your breeder does not want you to see the parents, they don't want you to see where the animals are living, they don't have the information to present you from a vet, like a certified licensed vet, then they're not breeding appropriately. If they're not presenting the things to you, they should have that readily available. They should be able to prove that they're doing what they should be doing.
So that's a red flag.
Yes.
Okay.
For good. Sure. For sure.
What was that word, though? The brachio what?
Brachycephalic.
Okay.
Smash skull.
Yep.
So like the opposite of a big proboscis. Roughly.
They basically have no nose. They just, their skull is like shoved inside itself, basically.
It's a dumb show. I don't know. I just learned about proboscis, so.
Okay. We're
talking about elephant seals.
So I'm using
seals,
it.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I would love to see a puppy mill of those.
Oh my gosh.
20 foot long seal.
Yeah, that one you probably should have like a big, huge facility.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Put in a quail cage.
You know
yeah,
what?
There
if
you
they
go.
Could breed it with a poodle and make a doodle out of it, they'd do it. So
you could just fit it in a room.
Yeah, an elephant seal? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You have this house. Man. No, I bet they would too. I've been to some puppy mills, I guess you could say before, but because when we bought, I have a chow right now, and she's the last one we got from that mill. Well, we got her dad and the mom from that mill. But it was really clean. They took really well care of them. When you walked in, they had a whole pack of dogs, like eight different dogs, and they weren't just chow. I think there was one chow in that whole mix, and they'd all come running up to you. Like, it was a really nice place. So I'm glad that's where we got ours from. But then we bred them too.
But you're saying it was a mill?
Yeah. I mean, it's under her definition. Yeah. I think it would be. I think they had about six breeders that they had. But they were all, they walked us around their whole farm and showed us where all the adults were. And it was really nice, really clean, really well taken care of. The dogs were all happy.
Yeah, we see a lot of that too. Not everybody is ill-intentioned. They're not out there like, it's just a dog. We're just going to breed it till it dies. We see a lot of that. But sometimes it's just people that just don't have the knowledge. They just, it's a product of your situation. You grew up, this is what you did, and this is what we knew. And you just continue it on. It's just, you know, it's a lot of client education. People don't understand that there's more that goes into it. They think you just breed two dogs and you get some puppies. And you know what? It does work that way.
Mm-hmm.
But there should be more you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And this has been something that's been going on for tens of or decades.
Ever. Yeah.
I mean, since we domesticated dogs.
Yep. Well, true. Yeah.
Yep.
Started throwing them in a box and making more dogs.
Yep.
Because haven't the breeds, like, their features have changed, right,
they
over
have.
The year? Like,
and
significantly?
Yes. And breeds were not specific in the beginning either. They're all mixes of different dogs that they bred to get specific traits to create a breed.
Mm.
So that's essentially what a breed is. It's a created animal.
Right, yeah, they're all
GMOs.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, and some of the things that we're seeing, some of the changes in breed standards are good things. Like French Bulldogs over in Europe, they're breeding them to have longer snouts now so that they're breathing
good.
Better.
So
those are changes that we like to see, breeding to improve the breed standard, not necessarily perpetuating those same vicious cycles of dogs that just can't sustain life on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the Great Dane breeders, because we've taken in a couple Great Danes, and we have a friend that was a Great Dane rescuer, because I think her most she ever had at one time was four. But she's always had at least one or two. And they are the worst dogs.
They're beautiful.
Not their fault. It's just genetically.
Great Danes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They have so many genetic from this overbreed. Like, if you look at a Great Dane 100 years ago from Stockholm, or not from Stockholm, from Scotland Yard, like, they were a little smaller. They were bulky dogs. They had the sharp faces, the sharp ears, because they were police dogs. They were investigating. Like, they were active
Scooby-Doo.
Working dogs. More like that than what we have now, which are these big, dumb idiots where their face doesn't fit their skull. They've been just, literally the one I helped take care of, they had been bred so horribly that her face, her eye holes were so low that she couldn't see out of them.
Mm.
She had eyes that worked.
Right.
Like, if you picked up, we would, not a hair tie, I don't know what you call it, not a scrunchie because it would hurt the skin, but something to hold the skin up, and she could see.
A binder clip.
Yeah. But no, something soft, you know.
I know.
But so she could see. But that dog had so many, they have hip dysplasia. They have spinal problems. Great Danes now, a purebred Great Dane lives to be about five. That's what they tell you.
Yep.
It's a dog.
Five?
Five. And bigger dogs live shorter. They're just like bigger people have shorter lives. And, you know, on average.
But five's pretty short.
Yeah. So mom got theirs to nine. But what they started doing is breeding back in, some kind of lab. So they end up smaller, wider chested, fuller bodies, and help get rid of that hip dysplasia. Mm-hmm. Because they just, it's not this, and the bull terriers is another one, that big heavy snout didn't exist 75, 80 years ago.
Is that the Spuds McKenzie dog?
Spuds McKenzie.
Yep. Okay.
That didn't exist. You know, you see a picture of a bull terrier in one of the books from like 1915. They just look like a terrier.
Yeah.
Right? They're a little bulkier for a terrier, but that huge, you know, bull shark looking head.
Not what we know as them today.
Yeah. So I'm glad to see that there are trends to try to, as pugs. I always had a soft spot for pugs because I've always felt horrible for them.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, we did this to you.
Yeah. Yep.
And people are like, that's, you know, it's a gross dog. Look at what we did that.
Yeah.
That dog didn't do that.
I know that look when he looks up at you.
It just sounds like a monster.
You know, to be honest, they're one of my favorite breeds, though. I love all those little snorty gremlins. I just have a soft spot for them. But yeah, they are a horrible breed. They are.
Genetically, yeah. And that's what I meant with Great Danes.
Yeah.
Great Danes are awesome, friendly dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Good protectors. They're good family pets. They're just genetics are just junk.
They are. They like to get cancer and heart disease as well. Mm. They collect them all.
I don't know, because Great Dane, I think when we had them, we were doing the research, like a huge Great Dane 100 years ago or 200 years or 150 years ago, whatever it was like 140 pounds, which is a huge dog. Mm-hmm. It's a huge dog. Now, when ours died, he was 191.
So he's healthy.
No, he was, I mean, he was still skinny. They're all skinny.
Oh, okay.
They bred him to be bigger and bigger and bigger, and the organs aren't keeping up. So that's why they're dying of heart failure. Their hips are going out.
Okay, gotcha.
Because their systems aren't keeping up with it.
Mm-hmm.
They still have the same size heart they did, you know, 10 generations ago. They're just not, you know, their genetics aren't keeping up with it.
Hmm.
Yeah, modern feeding trends are not helping them at all.
Oh, gosh.
Either. You see all the grain-free diets out there, and I cringe every time a Dane breeder comes in or a Dane owner comes in. They're like, yeah, we just started feeding raw or grain-free, and I'm just like, oh.
So
stop that,
yeah,
actually.
Explain that to people.
So grain is essential to a dog. Like, I know people are like, they're carnivores. They just need meat.
And I won't
They're bred to be pets now. They need grain.
I mean, 10, 12,000 years at least. You know, probably 100,000.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I won't say what you do for a living, but I will say that you have high credentials in this subject.
I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, you're not just... But, you know, for the people at home, they don't know yet and stuff like that. Marcy has really, really high credentials in this field specifically. So I take her word very, very seriously. So yeah, continue.
Nutrition in dogs is something that I don't really play with, though. So when people ask us what foods we recommend, I typically go for the big names because I know that there are veterinarians on board that are monitoring those diets and making sure that it's the appropriate nutrition for your dog. So like Purina, Iams, those are great brands. Hills, we recommend all of those. And I know people are always like, oh, you get kickbacks. You know what? I got a pair of sunglasses from one of those companies. That's my kickback. I'm telling you guys, like, these are the foods that you should feed. And when people come in and tell me that they're feeding grain-free, sure, you can do it. But there are taurine in grains that your dog needs for their heart function. So we see a lot of DCM, which is heart failure. We see a lot of that in dogs. And a lot of times it's our taurine. Grain-free dogs. They've been feeding grain-free for so long that the heart just can't keep up anymore. You need the taurine. And you can get taurine outside of the food and add it to your food. But why wouldn't you just feed grain at that point?
Right,
make it easier on yourself. You know, so.
I would say everybody should buy a mutt. Bailey lived to be 21.
Mm-hmm.
He was a mutt. The vet that told me we were going to have to put him down when he was 11, he outlived that vet. It was the one outside. I told you that story.
Yes. Yeah.
Because we came back heartbroken. He's like, he's got arthritis. You're going to have to put him down here soon. You have 6 months. And that vet died 2 years later, and Bailey lived about another decade.
Yeah, ain't that nuts?
And after that, we just started, Bailey's diet is not a weight because he would ride in the car, and we would just give him cheeseburgers because the vet told us he was going to die soon.
Right, yeah.
So I just go get him, like, here's a McDonald's cheeseburger for you, Bailey. And he got fat, and then he got skinny, and then he got fat, and then he got skinny.
He's like Oprah.
Yeah. Except he never gave me a free car or nothing like that. As far as I know, he never abducted kids. So I don't know what to feed a friggin' dog. I know, what is it, Blue Buffalo, the canned food, is what everybody recommends for your blue tongue skink.
Oh, really? Okay. I did not know that.
Yeah, the chicken, I think it's the chicken and grain one.
Okay.
Mm. The wet.
Good to know. For all these skink owners out there.
They're very popular in the pet trade. Nobody knows how to take care of them.
Okay. I don't know.
They're very popular. You remember when I had them?
Oh, I remember you tried to get me to get one.
Yeah. A blue tongue?
Just a skink in general.
That was a fireside. They're different.
Oh, okay.
Fireside you could fit in your hand.
Ah, gotcha.
That was the one my Lisa would carry around in her pocket.
Mm, okay.
Because it would go in her pocket. That was Sheila. But no, so food, genetics. I mean, so there is positive trends in the genetics right now.
There are. And it's definitely not in the U.S. You know, we're a very... Mm. We're a very hillbilly country around here, so we breed what we want. So we don't see a lot of it around here. It's mostly in Europe that they're doing these things. But, you know, it's still good to see. And people do import and export dogs all the time. So we're going to get those over here, and we're going to get them mixed into our line. So it's going to be a trickle-down effect, but we'll see it. We'll see the change.
So is there any – I know you mentioned a couple government organizations. Is anybody actually checking in on these people or following up?
Yes. It's very lax regulations. So – anytime I see any abuse or neglect, I report it immediately. And I guess people don't really know how it works, which, you know, I didn't
before. I didn't know.
Yeah, I didn't know before I entered this field either. So, you know, you have to report it to your local authorities if you want an animal seized. So your dog warden, they can work in conjunction with your, like, local authorities, like the sheriff's office and things like that. But they do not have the authority to go seize an animal. It has to be an enforcement officer. There are humane agents that can help with it as well. So some, animal societies do have humane agents that can go out. But you just have to have the right numbers to call. So it's always the best bet, call your sheriff's office if it's an emergent situation so they can address it immediately. Otherwise, if it's someone that you know is a breeder or should be registered as a breeder and you don't know if they are because they have 5 or more breeding bitches, you can report it to your state departments, or you can report it to the U.S. Department. There's the U.S. Department of Agriculture. They have to have a license with them in order to be a breeding kennel with 5 or more breeding bitches. So you can report it to them, and you can report it to, like, Ohio Department of Agriculture, and they have to go do an investigation if there is a report. So the more information you give them, the better. If you can give them breeder name, address, like what dog it was, all of that, they're going to investigate it a lot sooner. But they're doing the whole state or they're doing the whole country. So mm-hmm. Right. It does take time to get to these things. Mm-hmm. And the problem may not be there. Like, that dog may have passed or they surrendered to a rescue. By the time they
get there, you know, it takes 2 months
yep.
to get there. And
yep.
I've worked with some of those agencies and other aspects for chemical dumps and that kind of stuff. And sometimes they are so slow. And it, like you said, you know, they're doing huge swaths. And so for the DNR, and I can talk about that a little bit, is, you know, we in Ohio, we have 5 districts. We have right now a shortage of DNR agents. Our local guy is running 5 counties. There's supposed to be 1 to 2 per county.
Mm.
And there's nobody wants the jobs.
Gotcha.
So he's running 5 counties.
Wow, all by himself?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you call him about a problem and it takes him, you know, if it's a deer poaching, if it's dogs, you know, he's not going to get there for 2 or 3. Unless it's like an emergency. He can't do it. It's not his fault. It's just, he's literally, you're probably the 8th call he's had before breakfast.
Right, yeah.
And he's had 50 calls yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a super nice, and I know him personally. He's a super nice guy. He actually lives right down there. But yeah, with those organizations. So there's 5 districts in Ohio. In Central District District 1 is Central Ohio. They also do a lot of legislation side of it. So that office does nothing outside, pretty much. And it's nothing against them. It's just how the offices work is that they run the legislation, they run the paperwork side of it, all that. And then we're District 2 up in this side, and then it's District 2, 3, 4, 5. There's not many people. So our District 2 is in Findlay, and there's like 4 or 5 guys. The last time I was up there to work with them, there's like 4 or 5 guys and gals, the whole office.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 of them have to stay at the office the whole time.
Right, yeah.
So you imagine you call them for the report and something, and he's doing something else or she's doing something. Like, they're not.
Ain't happening.
But
yeah.
like Marcy said, by the time they get there, it's, you know, the event's already over or can be over.
Right.
I ever tell you about I did report one time, dogs, a mill. Ever tell you about that?
I don't think so.
We were doing work in the river. You got attacked by, like, I swear, 30 or 40 beagles.
Jeez. Attacked?
Kind of.
Okay.
We were scared to get out of the creek.
Yeah.
Oh, we were in a river, and it was an Amish farm, and it was down this big one. We didn't see it. We had legal right to be in the river. We didn't see it. You just hear them. like the old movies, the hound's coming to get you.
Yeah.
And some of them had their nipples dragging. I mean, all the way to the ground. Like, yeah. And they look like, what's the other one? Not beagles.
Bassets.
Yeah. They look like basset hounds because they'd been bred so much that they were, they're literally, their mammary glands were dragging.
Yeah.
Because they've been overworked. And these dogs are like, I swear there's probably 30 of them just on the bank, like going nuts. And a couple of them were like, getting in the water and getting out, getting in the, like, going to come at us. So we called and reported to our friend about, like, yeah, I think there's a mill. Oh, sorry. That was me. Yeah, I think there may be a mill there because there's about 500 dogs.
You're on their territory.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
They had to defend it.
No. And then, I mean, what do you...
What?
Do you have something to say?
Oh, I'll just say you kind of mentioned the, you think it was an Amish puppy mill breeder farm? Yeah, so are they like, are they big in it, or do they, you know, get checked in on as much as...
So they do. They still have to register with the state.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. They do. Okay. So they're outside of a lot of our laws, but they do have to do that because animals are considered property to the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. So they have to register them. They don't have to necessarily like have dog tags with the county wardens, but they do have to register as a breeding kennel if they have five or more, which they all do. And there is a discernible difference between the Amish around us, at least. There's what we call horse Amish and there's dog Amish. And I definitely prefer the horse Amish. They're laid back. They're just out there taking care of their horses. They send a lot of them to tracks. They're training them for that. And then they'll casually like breed a dog here and there, and they just don't have the knowledge to do it properly. So you can't really blame them for that. You try to educate them as much as you can, but, you know, sometimes it's in one ear, out the other. But then your dog Amish, that's where we see the problem. They're the ones that are breeding dogs for profit.
Mm-hmm.
It's what they do. It's their livelihood. And that's where we're seeing a lot of them is from the Amish. Honestly, that's where most of our dogs come from in the rescue is from the Amish.
Before you continue with that, I just want to say, if you're Amish and you take offense to anything we're saying, first off, you shouldn't be listening to this. So you're already in trouble. I'm calling your bishop right now. And if he answers the phone, he'll be in trouble.
Unless it's a business call, right?
So the bishops aren't supposed to have any of it. It's
okay. A business, I don't know.
So depends on what Amish, like Marcia was saying. Like and we were talking before you got here. There's some new order Amish and that kind of stuff that are just getting away from like some of the scary rules.
The old tradition.
Yeah, I mean, beating your kid with an inch of life because they looked at an Englishman.
Well,
like we were talking about that. It's just, it's scary. Like,
yeah, no,
if they'll be an 8-year-old girl, I mean, just imagine what they're doing to the dogs.
Oh gosh, yeah,
and that's their kid.
Yeah,
and the one we got Lucy from, I wouldn't say was. I think it was more like the horse Amish, like you were saying.
Yep,
they had red heelers. They didn't. They weren't in cages. They probably had four or five adults, and then. They would have babies and they'd give birth in the barn and they really couldn't care less if they gave birth or not.
Yep.
Because they were $10.
Mm-hmm.
So they just wanted the puppies gone.
Right, yeah.
But they weren't stopping them from making puppies.
Yep.
Because they always had puppies.
Right, yeah.
Every time we went there was always puppies for sale.
Hmm. And I'm sure not all of them got sold all the time.
No, and you know, what happens to that is what happens to that.
Tiger King, probably.
Tiger King, yeah. Oh, no, that never happens. I almost don't put down. I seen him do it to a horse one time.
Oh, really?
It was actually the one that we were talking. Marcy's mom and I, or in our family, used to use the same. It's called breaking a horse, right?
Yep, my uncle does it.
But I want to explain what that means.
Okay.
It for somebody that doesn't know, it sounds really scary.
It does, yeah.
Like you're breaking
it. Like you're beating it or something.
Well, they probably did, but...
Well, okay,
you're conditioning it for to take a saddle to ride, to follow... Yep. Like you're conditioning a horse to do that, so it's called breaking a horse, or breaking habits, I guess, you know, would be the fuller sentence of that. And we would take him to that one. And I remember the last time we ever went, a horse was pulling. And it wasn't one of their great big huge horses. It was like a pain or something. Anybody doesn't know, that's like a riding horse. Like, they're not huge. They're horses, but they're not draft. They're not Belgians. You know, they're not pulling 10,000-pound sleds all the time.
No Clydesdales.
I'm pretty sure we watched him beat it to death because it fell, and then he just kept hitting it. And that was the last time we went over there. He just kept hitting it. And Dad was like, I remember Mom made Dad get in the car.
Because he was going to do something?
Yeah, he was like... He was yelling at the guy and stuff like that.
Very uncomfortable.
It's just like, I was probably 11 or 12, you know. And because it was not a big horse. You know, draft horses, the bigger breeds are designed for that. You know, they've been selectively bred.
To get beat?
No, to pull heavy loads.
Oh, okay.
To pull those plows. They take it better. You know, their bodies are, they're specifically designed.
Oh, so he had this horse doing that.
He had a, like a riding horse.
Yeah, pulling.
Strapped up. And then when it fainted,
yeah,
he was beating it to get back up. And I'm pretty sure he just beat to death.
That's awful.
And he just kept hitting it. I just remember he was so mad. And we never went back over there. But so, yeah.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, so back to the Amish.
Yeah.
So you see a lot of these dogs. I wanted you to talk about that.
Yeah.
A lot of the ones, you know, you work with rescues, and we won't name them here, but you know, but you work with rescues. You have your main job you do, and you see a lot of these dogs coming in from the Amish.
I do, yeah. So they know where the rescues are and the people to contact. So if it's a dog that's going to cost them money or a dog that's, like, knocking at death's door, they're going to bring it to us because they're either going to shoot it or throw it out on the road somewhere. So they bring it to us, and I would much rather them do that, honestly. But we see some dogs in some pretty rough conditions. We also see the Amish for C-sections at my main job. We'll see them there all the time for bulldogs, especially what they call mini bulldogs. They're mutts. They're pugs and bulldogs and occasionally beagle mixed in there.
A pug and yeah. A bulldog? Oh, yeah. No.
They're just as awful as you think you are. They're pretty cute.
I can see, but given birth, a pug is, what, 9 pounds, 10 pounds?
Yep.
And it was an English bulldog?
Yeah, English bulldog.
So what, 50 pounds?
So the ones that we see, because they're bred with the pugs,
right, so they're
probably
smaller.
About 30 pounds, 30, 35 pounds usually, unless they're pregnant. Then they.
Well, I mean, then, yeah.
Yeah, but.
And none of these can breathe, correct?
That most of them cannot. No. Occasionally we'll see some, and I'll be like, wow, you actually have nostrils. But most of the time they're just Voldemort breathing through slits there. Yeah, exactly. Exactly like that. And we'll see them for C-sections, and it'll be like, this dog is 3 years old, and it's on its fifth C-section. And I'm like, you really shouldn't be breeding a dog before 2 years
fifth?
Of age. Yep. Yep. Honestly, one of my dogs that I rescued was from an Amish puppy mill, and she came in, and she had one puppy. Her uterus was ruptured, like it tore the uterus, and we're like, we cannot fix this. This dog needs to be spayed. And they argued with us. They're like, oh, just sew it up. We'll breed her again. Like, absolutely not. Absolutely not. We cannot do that. We ethically cannot do that. This dog needs to be spayed. So that's where one of my dogs came from. We say an angel gets their wings every time we spay an Amish dog. But her one puppy died, and they're like, okay, well, yeah, you can have it then, because this wasn't going to make them any money. So she became a spoiled house pet. But like you were talking about those beagles where their nipples are just hanging and dragging the ground, that's how she was. We tell them that they're hanging and swinging, because as they're walking, they are. They're just swinging.
And they're not. And for everybody, if you see a dog like that, they're not really supposed to look like that.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a couple friends that breed dogs. Like, they breed a set once a year or whatever. And I've seen the breeders, and you know who I'm talking about.
I probably do.
And we'll talk about it off.
Okay, all right.
Local.
I'm sure I do.
By your mom.
Okay.
Really close friends with your mom.
Oh, yes, they do. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I know.
And I've seen the females.
Yep.
I've never once seen nipples or swollen mammillaries on that dog.
Okay.
Never once.
Right around the corner?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, you know, you actually, like, and that dog breeds, you know, I think every year or every other, I don't know off the top of my head, but, you know, they breed that dog. So what you have to do to get a dog to be dragging its nipples on the ground from being so overworked, I mean, that's a constant state of pregnant. And nursing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Pregnant and nursing. Because their bodies are resilient, you know, those organs are designed to pull back up. And
they'll have a lot of times where the mom will die, like they didn't get it in for a C-section fast enough. And they, like, these dogs are not built to be having babies on their own. They need C-sections, most of them. So if they're not getting them into us, those moms are dying. And they'll just cut the dog open on the farm, take the puppies out, and throw them on another mom. So a lot of these dogs just never get a break from nursing. So that's just the sad truth of it, honestly.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what I was going to ask now. I completely forgot. Okay, this may sound calloused, because I don't know. Why aren't they just shooting these dogs? Is it because they want the puppies out of them?
Yes.
Okay.
Because they can make money on those puppies.
Because I said, I've seen them beat a horse to death, and I've seen them, once a second, an animal is not being profitable.
Right.
It's dead.
Yep.
And I've seen it with, not as much as dogs in person. I've seen them kick dogs and all that stuff, but never like. But like I said, the second the horse wasn't pulling the plow,
right?
It was time for that horse to die. It's just crazy to me. So they're bringing them to you guys specifically just to get the puppies out.
Yep. That's all they care about. And we've had a lot of them a lot of times tell us, well, if you can save the puppies, I'd rather that. The mom doesn't mean anything to them. Once she is done producing, or we tell them that the uterus is spent, like, this uterus will tear. And we've had that where we've had dogs come in where their puppies are just free floating in the abdomen because the uterus ruptured.
And, ugh.
Yep. Like, it's just, it's a lot of that, honestly. We tell them, you do not need to breed this dog again. She will not survive it, and they're still going to breed it. Unless we see that uterus come out on the table, we know it's going to go back and get bred again.
Oh, yeah, that's awful.
It is. It is. And honestly, there's not a whole lot we can do about it because it's their dog. We have a legal obligation to do what they want. We can report it, but again, that report.
All right, they're overwhelmed. Yep, like, there's six guys, you know, that have a list probably 20 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
There are some situations where we've had, we've actually had a couple of dogs come in where their back was completely split open. Like, they were, like, degloved, basically. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, because of dog fights and being degloved, in such...
skin coming off.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they're in such tight quarters.
I do want to talk about dog fights, too.
Yeah, we see a lot of that. And one of them brought the dog in, and they tried to super glue it back together.
Ooh, the skin back...
Yep, and they tried to breed her, too. And that skin was necrotic. We had to cut so much of it off. Oh, she survived. She lives a nice, cushy life now. She got
dogs
adopted, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she wagged her tail and, like, tried to give us kisses through the whole thing. That's honestly heartbreaking to see dogs come in such bad conditions like that, and they still trust
dogs.
People.
Yeah.
They
still dogs.
Do. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see a lot of terrified ones, but a lot of time we see dogs that are just like, oh, maybe you'll give me a little attention,
maybe I'll
a little
get food.
I'm hopeful for it. Like,
yeah.
Oh, man, it breaks your heart.
It does, yeah.
So, is... gonna say, well, I kind of forgot what I was gonna say. The degloving thing
that
ruined my mind there.
Yeah.
I just pictured a dog just sloughing off of a dog.
Oh, it's
that's exactly what it is.
Horrible. Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So, do you see a lot of dog fights specifically in the Amish community? Are these just dogs that are fighting in the kennels they're raising them in, or are they actually participating in quote like? Gambleized,
like,
dog fighting.
Yeah, we don't see like any of the gambling dog fights that I've seen so far. We see mostly from the kennels because they're in tight quarters and all of these dogs are coming in heat at different times and there's these males that are fighting for the females.
Okay.
So we had a breeding pair come in. It's probably been about 2 years now. We had a breeding pair come in, two doodles. They both had broken legs because their legs were getting caught through the fence because they're in like hog panel cages.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, they're getting caught through the fence and grabbed on by other dogs. So we had this dog was due within the week. And her leg was like, it was an open fracture. The bone was sticking out.
Oh, gosh.
So we had to put her under anesthesia, which anesthesia is not good for puppies. We try to keep it as minimal as possible because they just don't do well with it. They're tiny. Their organs aren't fully formed yet. So they can't process it appropriately. So we had to put her under anesthesia and hope that the puppies made it because, you know, we do.
You just have to. I mean, yeah. You got
to
do what you
We had to
do.
Take the leg off. And she still had the puppies. She did. She still had the puppies. We did end up having to cut her about a week later to get the last couple out, but she had most of them on her own, and they were all alive except one. So, you know, it turned out okay, but they just brought her in, and they're like, well, we'd really like her back after the leg is fixed so we can have the puppies. I'm like, nope, you're going to sign this paper right here. Let me see that name. Like,
yeah.
Absolutely not. No.
Not getting this one back.
No. No. I mean, we have regulations for our adopters. There's no way I'd be sending a dog back to a puppy mill. They're crazy asking those kinds of things. But they will. They'll ask.
Oh, gosh.
The resilience of dogs.
Yeah, they are. They're tough animals.
Oh, yeah,
they are tough
animals. They are tough.
I do. I remember, like, you started a memory for me about, like, it was like 10, 12 years ago. We had a chow. It broke his leg. And he had it was like a stent on the outside of the arm where they put the pins, like, in the bone. And it's like an external thing. So he had that on his front passenger leg. Let's just put it that passenger side leg. And I remember when we had first gotten him back, you know, you had to clean the wound, you know, constantly clean it and just make it clean for him. And his first day back at our house, so he's got the huge cone on his head, this one leg that he can't use or walk on, but he's still like hobbling around with his other foot. So finally, I'm like, all right, I'll let him go outside, go to the bathroom. And I let him outside, and I figured he can't get far. You know, he's can barely walk. So about 5 minutes pass, and I open the back door to look for him in the backyard, and I can't find him anywhere. And I'm looking everywhere. And then I find him. He's half mile down the road at your mom's house, peeing on a tree. And then I see this giant cone hopping up and down because he's just like living his best life.
Like a little Pixar lamp.
Yeah, and I'd run down the road and get him. I could not believe he got so far. Couldn't believe it. But just the resiliency. I don't know how they do it. I don't know.
They're tough.
Very.
Yeah, we had a puppy in the rescue. He came in. His owner had broken his leg. He was meant to be a hunting dog, and his owner stepped on him as a little puppy. It was an accident, but the aftercare was just not what it should have been. So they ended up surrendering because they did not come in for their cast checks, and the cast slipped and flipped backwards. So his leg was fused backwards. The bone was fused. We ended up having to take the leg off. But when he came in, he was dragging that mangled leg and just like a little crackhead. He just wanted to be everywhere and everything. Wanted treats. He wanted love. He wanted to wrestle. He's like, I don't care. I got a messed up leg. Who cares? I'm fine.
Yep.
They're tough little things.
One of my grandma's dogs, his name got changed. She had him brand new Shih Tzu. That's the only dog she ever had, which she had 50 of them growing up. Shih Tzus? Because they always got hit.
Yeah. They're not the smartest.
Yeah, I mean, they just love. They love love.
Yep.
They love love. Mm-hmm. So they just see somebody and they just want love, but the street out in front of the house, every once in a while, just somebody drives fast. And actually one of our buddies hit one of them. And I just remember he felt horrible, but it wasn't his fault. It ran out like in between two cars. So
right. He had no time to react.
Yeah. It was just, grandma never was upset with him about, you know, it just happened. But his name got changed to Thumper cause my cousin dropped him. He was a brand new pup. I mean, just this little hot dog. We probably had him too young because he probably came from a puppy mill. Now that I think about it, I was probably 6 or 7. My cousin dropped him, broke his back leg, like immediately, first day at the house. So I think his name before that was Elvis or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got changed to Thumper because he had this big cast on. And this little tiny dun, 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 through the house and you know, just running constantly. Just all you could hear, thump, 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 thump,
Thumper,
thump,
that's thump,
good. So yeah, that was Thumper. Oh, gosh. That one, now that you think about it, probably came from puppy mill.
You know what? I honestly have a dog that came from puppy mill, too, but I got her when I was 13 years old. I didn't know any better.
Nobody does.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know. I just remember that because we got two dogs at the same time, but grandma always got Shih Tzus from this lady in Indiana, and that's Clarice, the Yorkie Poo. That's actually, that's where she came from.
The zombie dog?
Yeah, the one that she didn't die. I mean, she just died, what, last year?
Was it last year or early this year?
It was early this year.
Yeah.
She died ice fishing on the ice fishing trip.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
She died
so
on the way
February.
Up. Yep. So yeah, just died this year.
How old was she?
Okay, I think she was 18 or 19. And she would come in here and poop while we were recording. She'd just walk in and poop. You remember, it was on a live video one
and
time.
And turn around and left.
And then turn around and left.
And she was blind and it was...
She'd bit the crap out of anybody because she was blind, so...
Just you.
If you got near her and you scared her, she would bite you.
Well, yeah, true, yeah.
Because we had her. Anyways, but no, because they were giving us deal. Like, we're just like, oh, they gave us a deal on a dog because we bought two dogs, you know? Because mom's like, well, you know, because
buy one, get one.
My youngest brother hadn't had it. We all had a dog. He didn't have one. So mom's like, well, I'll get him that for Christmas. But we also lived on a 30 big, acres of farm.
Room. And he had room for
it. We had a 3-story house. So, you know, we could have 4 or 5 dogs and they could do whatever they wanted all day.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. And then, yeah, so is there, I mean, are the Amish selling them directly, or are they using anybody to sell these dogs?
They do both. So there's a lot of the direct sales. They'll just put a sign out on the road, or they'll put it in the newspaper. They'll have, like, their English neighbor put it in Craigslist, something like that. But there are puppy brokers, too, that'll take them to puppy stores and sell them. So essentially they sell them to that person, so they get profit, and then that broker gets money for selling it to the puppy store.
So if you're going to a store, because I've never liked the idea of we have a couple local pet stores – the one I won't name because they just changed ownership, and I think the new owner is a lot better of a person than the old owner. The old owner had a record for the most pet store complaints about animal welfare in the state of Ohio.
I thought that was closed down now.
A guy bought the name in the store and just reopened it.
Oh, okay.
A young guy.
Okay.
And his axolotls have a giant tank by themselves, and you know the enclosures.
This is a small local store, two-room store. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
So the new guy, I think, is a lot nicer. Yeah. The old guy, I mean, he had literally like, so when you ship reptiles and amphibians and invertebrates, you ship them in deli cups, little tiny deli cups. Because with reptiles, amphibians, and invertebrates, you don't want them to move. You don't want them to be able to fall because the boxes are not treated nice. Believe me, I've shipped newts, salamanders, and all over the country. And they're not treated. So you want them to be soft, but kind of like packed in there. So like we use sphagnum moss, which you wet it it's like it's they can push it if they want to, but it also holds them in place when they're resting. Mm. So they're not being thrown around and jostled. So
okay.
Even if the box rolls, they're still in the same spot, you know, comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He would leave them in the Petri dishes for weeks after they got there.
Oh, this is the one they were shipped in.
He would put them what they were shipped in for sale in like a reptile enclosure.
Yeah.
So you could see there'd be like 15 Pac-Man frogs, and they're like in these little tiny dishes. I mean, that is just for shipping. That is not an enclosure.
Right.
And I've talked about the reptiles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. These people, you've heard me yell about it. Amphibians and reptiles, people just think they don't need space, and they do.
They actually require a lot. So, depending on the species, needs, yeah.
Ball pythons are my one reptile that I think are fine for racks. I'm pointing out one. There's one in the studio. Because they, in Africa, they live in the crevices. They live in ant mounds. They don't like being outside. Like, if you buy a ball python, you're buying a tub of dirt. They're really pretty. There's a bunch of colors. They want to be hidden. In Africa, they don't get very big. They're preyed upon by everything. They are crevice dwellers. They're rodent eaters. So they live in termite mounds. They live in these giant cracks in the ground. So that is an animal I think is fine with a rack. You know, rack systems are the big, for anybody at home, the big walls of like tubs. You see them keep some reptiles in. Most reptiles do not fit that kind. Like they want to be able to crawl. They want to be able to climb. They want to be able to do stuff. I've only ever had one ball python and that was Leroy. You remember Leroy?
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And he enjoyed being out. And you just remember he'd just sit on the couch. You just throw him on the couch, and
then you watch TV with him.
He watched TV, and he had his that big bag he would sleep in.
Maybe
it was a chinchilla bag.
Oh, okay,
like a bonding pouch kind of deal. All right,
and he would just you put it in the tank, and he'd crawl in it, and then Lisa would just carry him around the house and do all kinds of things.
That's funny.
So with these, like you said, English. You know, that's what they call normal people in America.
Right.
Normal.
And I just want to say, this isn't,
wait a minute.
This isn't all Amish.
It's not.
But once again, if you're Amish and you're taking offense to this, you shouldn't be listening. You're already in trouble.
Right. Yeah, it's definitely not all Amish. I grew up in this area and I did not have this perception of Amish that I do now. Like, I grew up with Amish families going out and playing with their kids and, you know, learning their way of life. And it was wholesome to me as a kid. But now I see a different side of it working with them so often.
And like I said earlier, it's like, you were talking about it. The new Amish order is very different.
It is.
Than the old Amish order, even with the respect to their families, respect to animals, respect to community. Like, those are the ones that you could talk to. Like, we have a couple of families at the fair that come up, and, you know, they're very different than some of the Amish we grew up with, being like the really strict, scary. And then the ex-Amish, like the lady that butchers the birds we
right,
were talking
yeah.
about. You know, they're ex-Amish. They live a very wholesome life, but they're very friendly. Their animal, their horse I've seen some very, very thin horses over there. Horses, they can't get fat. I've only ever seen that, I think, once, a fat horse.
Was it the world's largest horse at the Allen County Fair?
No, he wasn't fat.
You ever seen that thing?
I've seen the pictures.
I've seen it in person. Mind was blown.
Was it a Clydesdale or a Belgium? Probably Clydesdale.
I think it was a Clydesdale, but this thing was just massive. Did you ever see it?
I don't think I have.
Oh, my.
She's seen some big horses,
seen some big horses, yeah.
I know one of your family members has.
Yeah.
Or do they still have?
No, she just has one horse anymore.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I remember when I was growing up, she had some.
Yeah, she just has a little ploppy one, a halflinger. It's technically a draft horse, but they're small.
The small draft horses.
Yeah.
This one, they kept a small horse with it, so it looked even bigger, but it was still like...
Not like a mini, right?
Right.
No, not quite that. It was just probably a paint. Probably a paint.
You don't know what a paint is.
I know. I kind of do. But I know it's smaller. It was a smaller horse, but shoot, you went in this tent, and this thing was... I just cannot describe how big it was. It was actually massive. Round, but it was like fat. It was fat and tall. I couldn't believe it. Could not, but mine's still blown when I seen it. I had pictures on my old phone. If I can dig them up, I'll show you, but it was just massive. It really was the largest horse I've ever seen in my life.
So I wanted to ask.
That's saying something. Your uncle has some big horses too.
Yeah. this thing made all them look tiny.
I remember the pictures, like just from the, like,
because I thought it was a joke. You know, it's okay.
Pay a dollar.
Go see the largest horse. And then I walked around the corner in the tent because you can't see it from outside at all. You have to go in to see it. And turn the corner. Like, it's the world's largest horse. It really like is in my mind. Yeah.
So the pet store side of it, that's why I was getting off with that story, is that they always, so the old owner always had puppies. And the one time before me and Lisa had kids or anything like that, you know, before we had our dog that we got from the Humane Society, we were looking at getting a puppy because we wanted a puppy. I'd never in my life had a puppy. You know, we'd always gone to the Humane Society and got dogs. Or besides, Lucy was a farm dog. Mm-hmm. So she was a puppy, but she wasn't like a puppy. Like, that was a monster. She was an animal.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Animal. You could pet her, but if you put her inside a house, she would destroy everything you had. It was the Tasmanian Tigers, which or Tasmanian Devil.
Oh, the tornado.
Yeah, that's what she was. We put her on a leash one time, and she almost hung herself in about 2 minutes because she spun, got up on the roof of something, and then jumped off.
Oh,
yeah. She was just hanging there.
Oh, my gosh.
So we're like, never, won't do that again. We went over and that one pet store, like I said, had all, and they had puppies. They always had puppies. As far as I know, the new owner has no plans on ever having dogs again.
That's what I heard. I know that they had a couple that were from like a Humane Society or a rescue around there that
they
just advertised.
Right now, the cats.
Okay.
Where they have two or three of those cat kennels, but they're not their cats.
Right.
They're the Humane Society's cats, and you still have to fill out the Humane Society's forms.
They're
mm-hmm. like the when you first work in, there's cats,
mm-hmm.
and they're like three or four cats or whatever, and they're So he's not selling cats,
right.
or anything like that, you know.
Which I see a lot of that in pet stores anymore. That's a nice to see. Yeah,
cats are way overloaded.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, I have strong opinions on cats,
especially in towns.
Outside cats, I just don't like
mm-hmm.
from being with the ecological stuff. They are the worst.
What? I try to tell people that around here all the time, but you know, everybody's got a barn cat around here. I'm just like, they are detrimental to our birds around here.
The number one bird killer on the planet is a domestic cat.
Yep.
You know, they're the number one. They just came in with the numbers for this year. They're the number one invasive animal on the planet
mm-hmm.
is domestic cats.
The whole time they were here.
So with the pet store side of it, I think they were all puppy mill dogs because we were asking for
most likely.
I don't even know what we Googled because we Googled what to ask for and some kind of blood, like some kind of vet form. I'm sure what it was. This was years ago now. And he's like, and he just always kept like, oh, I'll have it for you. You know, come back tomorrow, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And never had it. And then he offered us a big discount on one of the puppies. And we're like, well, we really want to see, you know, and he never could. He's like, I got to get a hold of the breeder and I'll get it. You know, he wanted us to buy the dog first.
Yes.
And he's like, I'll get it for you. No, I'll get it for you. And I'm like, there's frogs in a friggin' Jello shot cup. And then dead hermit crabs. There's always, you go to that pet store, there's always dead hermit crabs.
A Jello shot cup.
They were.
I know. It's funny, though. Like, that description.
I hate how frogs and amphibians are treated because it's just like, oh, they're fine in a Jello cup.
Yeah.
No, so how, I guess what I was getting at is if you're wanting to buy a puppy, which I think you should probably adopt first, but I've had mixed results on adopting. You want me to share that story?
Yeah, I do.
Have you ever heard this story?
The shepherd?
No, the second
okay.
dog.
Okay.
We
no,
had for 2 days.
No, I don't think
what
we did.
It was Kevin.
Kevin, that's right.
Okay.
It was a girl named Kevin.
Doug, all right. Because it was Doug. It was up.
Okay, yeah,
Doug
yeah.
and Kevin.
All right.
So we went up. It was one of the adopt-a-puppy thons up in Toledo, whatever.
All right. Fair enough.
So you had like 700 dogs. So we had like a
I'm sorry.
No, it was not great. Not a great day. We had like, they told you to look on their website and try to pick a handful of dogs to look at. Because it was during one of their like puppy adoption events. You know, what they were calling puppies, anything under a year.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. So it wasn't like baby dogs, but it was like, you know, younger dogs. Because Doug at that time was like a year old. So we're like, you know, and he's a German Shepherd and he's got all this energy. And, you know, it'd be nice for him to have, because when I took him to the dog park, if there was other dogs, he had a great time. He had a great time playing with you. We were there, but, you know, he just liked other dogs. So I was like, you know, we'll go with Humane Society. We'll adopt a dog. So we get up there and we meet and we had Doug in the car with my nephew. So me and Lisa could go up and meet the dogs first. And this one, Kevin, it was super friendly. Like one of those dogs, it was just super, super friendly. And we asked, you know, history and everything like that. Nope, just a surrender and no problems, you know, just all that. And so we brought in Doug to meet it. And Doug was a really, really large German Shepherd. He's like 100 pounds. And they hit it off. They had fun. You know, they were playing around. They were a little, she was a pit something.
Okay.
You know, you could see the pit in her, but she was tiny. She was like 50 pounds.
All right.
Pit, Shepherd, Beagle.
Whole bunch of mix. Yeah.
Hollandaise sauce.
Supermutt. Yeah.
Yep. I don't, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Heinz 59. Know. Yep.
Yeah. There you go. 59. Dr. Pepper.
So we're like, all right, you know, we'll get her because bring her home. We had the baby pool in the backyard for the dogs. They were having so much fun. The problem started when you were home. The dog was fine. Doug was kennel trained. And we were told she was kennel trained because she was in a kennel.
Okay.
So like, as long as we were going to be gone a short period of time, we'd let Doug be in the house. But Doug's a German Shepherd, or was it? You know, he still is a German Shepherd. But he would chew, right? A little bit if, you know, it went hours being on, you know, he would start chewing on the kitchen table or something like that. So we had them in their kennels. It was fair week. It was show day. We came home during the lunch break to let the dogs out. We opened the front door. And she had, I guess I skipped a couple things. She had broken out of the kennel a couple times. She was really good at opening locks and that kind of stuff. So we had all these clips and zip ties and all that. Open the door and it just reeks of poop. And we're like, we've just been gone for like 4 hours. And like Doug doesn't poop in his cage. So we're like, okay, so Kevin pooped in her cage and get in. And she comes running up to us. And we're like, oh no. The whole house is destroyed. She, all the cables to this stuff in here. She, did see the floor? She actually peeled the floor, the brand new floor I just put in the week before. She had peeled it. She'd eaten the legs on the tables. She had destroyed the house and rubbed poop everywhere.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know how that dog crapped that much. Okay. And I'm very upset. And I'm just like, we got to go back to the fair. You know, it's a big day. Yeah. He's getting, and I'm like, I'm boiling. I'm like, we're taking the dog back. We're taking the dog back. The house, I mean, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars this dog did damage in. And what she had done is she had turned her cage over like a turtle, crawled through the house, eating stuff in the cage.
Oh my gosh.
Got the cage stuck and then ripped the door inside. And so as I'm walking in here and I'm just like, just put her out by, I step down and I'm in the worst pain I've ever had in my life. I look down, there's a nail coming through the top of my foot. She had pulled a board out of the floor and left the nail up. Blood and is just...
he found it.
Everywhere.
Oh, man. Blood and crap.
And I just... the dog... So I call mom and I'm like, I gotta go to the... I gotta go back to the fair. I just gotta go back. And she's like, just leave. I'll go up and deal with it. And she's seen all the blood. Because I was running around the house chasing this thing. Yeah. I had a nail through my foot. I could see the nail. Oh, it came all the way through my foot. And she called me. She's like, did you kill the dog? Oh, no. I'm like, I didn't ever touch the dog. I couldn't catch it. And she's like, there's blood. All, and I didn't know there was blood. I'm red, green, colorblind. So brown and red looked the same.
Yeah.
So I thought it was all poop. No, it was me bleeding everywhere. I bled in every room in this house. So we take the dog back like the next day, right? All the way up to Toledo. And it's probably why it'll take a long time for me to ever adopt a dog again. This group ruined it for me. Because I bring the dog back, and because it was in the 30-day window, you know, all that, no penalty, all that garbage. And I'm like, hey, it's not working out. And I told him, whoever you give this dog to next, you need to warn him. Like, it destroyed our house. It had all these behavioral issues. And we would have done differently if we had known that. when you were at home, the dog didn't do any of this stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
She was a nice dog.
I loved it. The dog was great until you left.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if you left for 5 minutes, she'd roll the cage and be tearing stuff up. And the lady looked at me and said, that's what she was returned for the first 3 times.
Oh my gosh. That's definitely something you should
have disclosed. And I'm like, you didn't tell me that.
Right.
You didn't tell me that. Destroyed thousands of dollars of crap. Brand new floor I just put in, but just bought the house. Brand new floor, first floor I put in. Destroyed it. And I just, because we were going to a conference, and I just, I put my head down. I just let go of the, and I just walked out. I'm just like, I'm gonna get arrested. Because I was so mad that they knew and didn't tell me.
That's just not the way to do it.
And I guess they were overcrowded and stuff. But their dog came back. Yeah, it didn't fix anything.
If you're the fourth adoptive home and this is a recurring issue, the dog should not be on the adoption floor. It should be going to training. You should be addressing this issue. At the very least, doing some behavioral meds. Come on.
And I would have done stuff differently. Like, I would have put the kennel in the garage, right?
Because
it's a solid concrete building. It's cool. It's got, air conditioning and all that.
Yep.
But I like Doug. Like, I would put the music on for Doug because he liked, having something to hear in the house. So I just like, I wanted to have a nice, night. But if I'd have known it was a monster when you left, I'd have put it in this solid concrete house. Right. That, if you get out and eat something, it's concrete. Good luck.
Right. Yeah. No big deal. Oh,
gosh. And I remember my foot still hurts. It was a nail. It was a 2-inch nail. So if you're going to go buy a puppy, which.
There we go.
I think you should go to humane societies and adopt dogs. Ask a lot of questions. And that was one example of one bad, not a humane society, but one of those organizations. And I've adopted many, many dogs from humane societies and never had an issue. That was one that was just the most recent and a very unique dog.
Yes. Hey, yeah.
The behavioral issues were just extreme. If you're going to go buy a puppy and how do you kind of look for one of these brokers or how can you kind of tell that kind of stuff?
You can ask for specific things. So if you want vet records, you ask for records from a licensed vet because you can buy vaccines at Tractor Supply. We don't recommend it because Tractor Supply doesn't have the same regulations like the big vaccine companies do. So maybe it's coming on a refrigerated truck, but it's not refrigerated the whole time. Because sometimes shipments get delayed or things get taken off the truck. So that vaccine may not be viable. So if it's a handwritten or it just has stickers on a piece of paper and that's all they're giving you, don't trust it. That dog's not, I wouldn't consider that fully vaccinated. And parvo is a big issue around here. So that's not something you want to mess with.
So what's parvo? Explain that. Because I've heard it.
Parvo, so it attacks the GI system. So it essentially kills them from the inside out. And if left untreated, the dog will die. There's no way around that. The dog has to be treated. And most of the time we see it coming from kennels where there's a bunch of dogs. It's spread dog to dog. Even after your dog is tested negative, it's still shedding the virus for up to 2 weeks after that point. And it lives in the environment. It lives in the soil for up to 10 years. So there's no way to give it off your property. Oh my gosh. Yep. That's what people ask me all the time. They're like, so how do I clean my property? I said, well, you can bleach everything in your home, throw out everything that you had before. But unless you remove all of your topsoil and burn the underneath, you're not getting it out of your
property. Is it a virus or what is it?
It's a virus. Okay. Yeah. Mm. It is a virus. And it is highly contagious. And that's why we push so hard for vaccines because it is deadly. It will kill your dogs and it does spread fast. And you can carry it to dogs. You can get it on your shoes, on your clothes, on your hands. You can take it to other dogs. That's why clinics have isolation rooms for it. So if your dog comes in, no feet on the ground. And if your dog's not fully vaccinated, I don't recommend taking it anywhere. Like socialization is important, but not as important as keeping that dog healthy. So no feet on the ground and don't take it in any public spaces that dogs are in.
So I guess that's a dog park question. Mm-hmm. So if your dog is fully vaccinated, you feel it's or at least decently okay to take it out to?
Yeah, absolutely. If your dog's fully vaccinated, go for it.
Take that's one out. Thing that's always kind of bothered me, I guess, about it's like worms and, heartworm, and you never know. I mean.
And you can pick that up from the soil, too. Like, worms live in the environment. Mm-hmm. And if you're on, like, a preventative, like, there are chewable preventatives that will cover heartworm as well as intestinal parasite. And that's what people don't understand is, like, heartworms come from mosquitoes. You're not avoiding that. If there's a 40.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If there's a 40-degree day, those mosquitoes are hatching out. And when it's cold outside, the bugs come inside. I don't care how clean your house is. There are bugs in your house. So people come in, they're like, oh, my dog's an inside dog. I'm like, your dog doesn't go outside to poop? No. You need to be on a heartworm preventative.
Yeah.
Like, Like, it's just something they have to be on because they attack the heart muscle and they eat it away and it will give them heart disease and it will kill them after a while. So you have to keep them on a monthly preventative. But usually in those heartworm preventatives, there's also intestinal parasite preventative.
Right.
And there are just general dewormers that you can get as well. So if your dog has parasites, you can give them a dewormer. You're going to see them pooping out those worms. Don't be alarmed by that. That's what's supposed to happen.
Mm-hmm. We got Doug as a puppy, and that's the first. He came from the worst situation. You remember that?
Doug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His mom and dad were owned by a big drug dealer in Lima.
Okay.
And his dad was huge. Well, the drug dealer got arrested away, and like away from the house. He took him 3 weeks to get a warrant to search the house. So nobody been in this house for 3 weeks. Two full-size German Shepherds. So when the cops got there, they just seen this big German Shepherd pace in the window. And so they're like, you know, they called the Humane Society. And because they're like, well, you know, it's a German Shepherd. They don't know what that dog's like. Right. And Doug's mom was very, very nice. So they get this dog in, and the male had died. A toilet bowl had been left up, though, so they had water.
Okay.
The only reason she lived is because she was eating the male.
That sucks.
And because it was the only food available.
Yep.
So this huge female German Shepherd comes in, and she's like, I think she said like 65 pounds. Gives birth to 10 puppies. So this dog drops down to like 30 pounds. This huge German, it just was a skeleton. And Doug was one of those puppies. So we got one of those puppies. But yeah. No, and it was dogs get a rough shake. So how do we get rid of puppy mills? Do you know?
Honestly.
We'd have to start shooting people?
Yeah.
Honestly, you know what?
That's what I say about the government.
Satire. We joke about that all the time in rescue. I'm like, well, we have their address. You just want to, you know, go take care of this?
That's satire.
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 I would never. I would just fantasize about it, you know? But there's honestly not a whole lot we can do. Just report. And eventually it'll come back on them at some point. There's one big puppy mill that we see that two of my dogs came from, actually.
And you run a rescue. I want to make that clear.
I work with there's so you five don't of just go ahead.
I knew this was a puppy mill. I went and bought two dogs from it. No, you got.
No, this dog came in. It was one that was spayed, and they didn't want to make any money anymore, so they surrendered it to us, and she was a nice little couch potato for me. That's what dogs are meant to be, little buddies. So there's one specific puppy mill that I hear all the time from the vets that go to this, because they will have vets come out and do their bare minimum, because the state does require that rabies vaccines are given by a licensed vet. So they'll do that. That's the bare minimum that they will do. They should be doing a lot more, but they'll do that. I hear from the vets all the time, well, he's a better one. Better doesn't mean good.
No.
It does not mean good. So I'm so tired of hearing that. But honestly,
like saying a better Nazi.
Right, yeah. He's a better one.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't put as many Jews on the trains.
Like, right, he's one of the better ones.
The bar is in hell, people. Let's raise it a bit. Come on.
Right, yeah.
One of the better ones.
Yeah. That's I hear it all the time. All the time. I'm like, that's great. It's not good enough.
Is Ohio a pretty bad state for puppy mills?
We're actually listed in the Horrible 100, which lists...
What's that mean?
It lists places where there are puppy mills, like counties and states and all kinds of things. I believe we were in the top 10 last year.
Our county or our state?
Our state.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Our state was definitely on that list. We were listed with 13 known puppy mills. There are definitely more, but those are the ones that had reports that things came out of.
Oh, there's definitely more.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
More than 13 in this county.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure. Absolutely are. But the ones that got shut down issues, yeah.
Enough that where they got caught, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's not a whole lot you can
top
do
10
other
Ohio.
Than report.
Woo.
Yep.
Got to hold our own, right?
Yeah. We gotta be. I don't care what the list is. We got to be top 10.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, we made something, right?
Gosh. Yeah. Ohio, the laws in Ohio.
Are they as bad as Indiana?
Okay. So we've talked about that a lot.
Well,
Ohio has way, way, way too strict laws on reptiles and some other animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like you're saying with the puppy, like there's very almost no laws with dogs. Like very, very minimum. And even after you break those laws, and it's known you break those laws, to get caught is so much more.
That is weird, though.
And then
Wow, we're so strict with reptiles.
Reptiles, amphibians.
And then both.
And exotics. And I do think you should have permits. We've talked about it 100 times. I do think you should have permits for some of the larger exotics.
Absolutely.
But you should be able to have them if you can afford the permits.
Yeah, absolutely.
And with inspections and all that. Indiana is the complete opposite. They have no rules.
Really?
I've shared this story many times. So I used to breed salamanders, all kinds of species of salamander. And we do reptile shows and all that. And you used to sell salamanders. So I went did my first Indiana show. And the table next to me just started bringing in alligators that were hog-tied and taped.
Oh, my gosh. Shows.
And I'm like, you can't own any crocodilians in Ohio besides the dwarf caiman species.
Okay.
Which, if you're going to own a crocodilian, alligator, none of them are relaxed animals.
Right.
They're apex predators. Every crocodilian is an apex predator in its environment. Alligators are probably the most chill out of that group. They're not chill. But they are, if you're taking any of them, alligators are the least likely to come at you. They're prey drive. They, in the wild, they eat stuff that's smaller than them. Almost every other crocodilian eats stuff larger than them. So when they're looking at you, they'll eat you. Don't get me wrong. An alligator will eat you, but it's very, very less likely that they're going to look at you as a straight up food source. When a 6-foot crocodile will just look at you and be like, you are food.
Right. Yeah.
Shoot him.
Yeah. So this guy's bringing in alligators, hog-tied, mouth taped shut. And I'm just like, this is crazy. Every one of those is a felony. I didn't know. I looked up the laws about salamanders, right? Because that, and it's changed since then. I don't do that anymore. That was a long time ago. But you're not allowed to even cross lines with axolotls for sales anymore.
Yeah.
So they cracked down, Ohio cracked down the laws on axolotls for, I don't even know why. It doesn't matter. And then the guy next to me was selling rattlesnakes.
Man.
And I'm like,
the Wild West of Indiana.
Indiana, and that's where, if you watch the Joe Exotic series, which there's tiger mills too, which is crazy.
Tiger mills, yeah. Doesn't even sound right.
That one guy that got a lot of Joe's animals is in Indiana.
Doc Annel?
No, that's North Carolina.
Okay.
Or one of the Carolinas.
Okay.
Doc Annel, they're all bad, and that's one of the things I said about Tiger King. Is this a fun show to watch to show you some of the stuff that happens behind the curtains? Nobody in there was good.
Right.
I'm always yelling, jokingly, I'm on Joe's side and Carol's evil. They're all bad. Joe was bad. Carol was bad, or is bad. Doc Annel's bad. The Indiana guy, as far as I know, is bad. Like, they're all bad animal people. But it's just fun.
Just fun.
But Ohio has, crazy laws on amphibians and reptiles and all that stuff. And it just is surprising me that they just have, and it's probably like you said, manpower. This, they can't.
Yeah.
If you make that law, it doesn't really matter if you don't have the enforcement to go do it. I didn't know that about dog wardens either.
Yeah. They do not have the authority. Unless they have a humane officer, they do not have the authority to seize animals. They have to work in conjunction with your local law enforcement, which is what they do.
Like seizing animals on your property?
Yes.
Yeah, if they're off their property, they're fair game.
Yeah, so if they're running loose and they don't have a dog tag or there's nobody there to claim them, yeah, absolutely, they can take that dog. There's a 3-day stray hold in Hardin County, at least. They'll hold that dog for 3 days, and if nobody claims it, it can be adopted.
Mm.
So, yeah.
They got our dog once.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They got Lucy about 10 times.
I think they only got Rocco one time for us. We just call him. Is he over there? Yeah. Lucy, all right, be right over.
Lucy would go to, you remember how long our driveway was?
Oh, yeah.
Lucy would go to the end of the driveway, and they'd just be like, oh, it's a stray. She has a chip in her.
You know what? I have one dog that, she was kind of like your situation. I went to adopt a dog, and they sold me a lemon is what they did.
Gosh.
I love her to death. I still have her. But, man, she's a crackhead. But I can't tell you how many times when I moved, to my first house, I didn't have invisible fence in yet. It took a few weeks to get that put in. She ran away so many times. Mm-hmm. So many times. And that dog never got picked up. Not once. Like, how do you see this tiny little toothless crackhead of a pit bull thing running around and you're like, she's fine. Let her go. No! Yeah. Catch her. Put her in jail. She deserves that.
Right, yeah. She can't hurt nothing. No teeth.
Yeah, she didn't have any. Well, she could. My ex-in-law, she killed all her ducks. She just pick them up and snap their necks. She's a vicious little thing. If she had teeth, she'd really screw something up.
Oh, yeah.
Killing ducks with no teeth.
She just whip them around, just snap their necks.
That's what our dog got. We call it the 4th of July massacre one time.
Yeah.
We had kittens. Oh, we had about 8 or 10 of them. And Our dogs, they were in their own little enclosure. And our dogs were in their own little enclosure, too. Like, not little, but, you know, they were separated.
Yeah. You may not want to share this story again.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it just happened. The dog got out 4th of July because I think the fireworks spooked her enough to where she all riled up. Mm-hmm. She ended up getting out of the cage or out of the enclosure at night. And then when we woke up the next morning, there was these little kitten in the yard.
Uh-oh, no.
There's another little kitten in the yard.
Oh, no.
The dog had got a hold of him and just shook him and threw him and went on to the next.
It's animal instinct.
Yeah,
it's
just, she just saw red.
You can't really blame him for that. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
Lucy, what was her healer, the cattle dogs, would put everything in the barn at night. I remember she would pick up these cats and they finally stopped running. She just cared. And she wasn't hurting them, but she would pick them up in her mouth and put them in the barn at night. And if they try to get out, she'd just keep picking them up, putting them in the barn. And then the horses. And then the one time we opened the door and a bunch of deer ran out. The deer had gotten in the pasture and she put them in the barn.
Well, they're in the pasture.
Once you're in the because we had goats and horses and, you know, pigs, you're in the pasture, you go in the barn.
And, yep.
And the deer were just, they stayed there until we opened the doors in the morning.
Well, yeah, they're not, screw that. Now, they're Lucy, not dealing with her.
Lucy was a monster. She came back. Well, I told you about the blood story.
Mm-hmm. The coyotes?
Yeah, this dog. Me and mom get home one day. This dog is just dripping with blood. And we're like, oh, gosh. I don't know what got a hold of her. She's all tore up. We clean her off, and we're getting ready to take her to the vet and can't find any cuts on her. We're like, that's not great because now where did all this blood come from?
Yeah.
We go in the woods, and there's three dead coyotes that she had ripped, like pulled the guts out of them.
Dang.
That dog was a monster.
Playing no
protecting
games.
Protecting her property.
No, she was. She was extremely. Yeah. She'd walk the line of the woods and the pastures, and anything that came in, she would just murder.
Mm-hmm.
I remember raccoons, foxes, coyotes, mink, foxes,
muskrats.
I mean, muskrats never really came up in the yard. But
oh, okay.
If you came up in the yard, you were dead. And the one time she came back with a deer leg, and we're never sure. We're pretty sure she found a dead deer,
mm-hmm.
but we weren't 100% sure she didn't kill the deer.
We've ours done that before too.
Your dog
brought up a deer leg.
Well, a red
there's
healer,
no way they killed it though.
A red healer is not huge.
Right, right, right.
You know, so I don't know.
They pack a punch though. We see some healers.
They knocked our horses over.
We see some really, really nice healers, but some that are just kind of feral. Their owners didn't do anything with them, and it's just kind of a good luck. Here's my dog situation.
Yeah, and Lucy was great with like the farm animals. Yeah, she didn't hurt chickens. She didn't hurt, you know, she didn't hurt the cats. She would just carry them into the barn and put them up at night. But if it was not supposed to be, she just knew. And you could pet her and pick her up and stuff like that. But she was not like, we only brought the dog inside once to give it a bath. And that was the worst mistake because it just blew her mind that she wanted to kill and destroy everything in the house. Like, I didn't know there's anything in here.
Right, yeah.
Did you guys know you had this problem?
Gosh, man, that was a monster. Well, man. We're well over. I hit the mic again. I'm pulling a Wilbur today.
Yeah, way to go.
Well, we're well over the hour mark. I guess normally Wilbur ends it in a rant, but I guess what's some of your final thoughts on puppy mills? I reiterate what people should do if they think they're getting a puppy mill, if they're around a puppy mill, just all those ideas.
Honestly, just ask them questions. If they're not going to be upfront with you and provide documentation that this animal's seen a vet, they're not showing you where they're living, what they're eating, they're not showing you like the entire space that this animal's existing in, it's probably not a good idea. Also, things that you can ask for are like brucellosis testing, if they have done any OFAs. And not every breeder will do OFAs because not every breed necessarily needs it, but it's a good sign if they're doing that.
What's an OFA again?
So those are the radiographs. So they're taking x-rays.
Okay.
They can do hips, elbows, knees. So those are the three we do at the clinic anyway most of the time. So they'll just grade your radiographs and say if it's a good breeding specimen or not.
So I guess a question I did forget earlier is there any breeds right now out there that you would just avoid completely due to bad genetics, this bad breed? Like mine, I always tell people is the Great Danes. If you Great Danes need homes, adopt a Great Dane, but just understand what you're getting is a lot of genetic problems, and they need people like our friend that she takes them in, but she's like, you know, there are a lot of work. When you leave, you have to have somebody. If there's a hard dog to take with you, they have trouble getting into cars. That's our Great Dane. He was just so big, and his joints, you know, when he started getting older, he couldn't get up into the car. and he out, you know, he outweighed most of the most people.
Yeah, right.
So you can't, and you couldn't just pick, you know, he's not a dog you just pick up and put in your car. So that's always when I kind of tell people is, you know, just understand what you're getting into with that. Is there any breeds like that that stand out to you?
Yeah. If you're going to be going to a breeder, make sure that you're finding out if they're an ethical breeder, number one. Because, yeah, you can buy a dog from a breeder and it's a good situation. But if you're going to be going to a breeder, avoid the bully breeds. Bully breeds and poodles. And if it's a doodle, it's not an ethical breeder because that's not a breed. That's a mutt. I'm sorry to say it, guys, but it's a mutt. So if they're saying they're an ethical breeder and they have doodles, that's not ethical breeding. So bully breeds, so any of like your American bullies, bulldogs, anything of that sort, because they're just breeding monsters right now. They're trying to make them short and squatty, and they're just terrible conformation. They can't breathe. They can't walk properly. They just they're monsters. So avoid any of the bully breeds. If you're going to get a bully, go to a shelter because there are so many there.
For bullies, you mean just bulldogs, not like pit bulls?
No, pit bulls as well.
Okay.
Pit bulls as well. We see people that breed pit bulls, and pit bull is like a general term. Like, mm-hmm. People don't understand that pit bull's not a specific breed. So there's your American pit bull terrier, which is the most common what people think of when they think of pit bulls.
Okay.
But then like a bull terrier, that's also considered kind of a pit bull type. So there are different.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So pit bull is not a specific breed. It's like a generalization of a bunch of different bully breeds. So, which a lot of those are in shelters. So you can find a purebred dog in shelter. You absolutely can. Most of the time, they're going to be mutts, but...
Mutts? Yeah. Mutts are the best dogs.
They are.
Yeah. I was going to say, I mean, should you really be targeting purebreds? I mean, is that a good thing overall?
I mean, if you want to keep the breeds alive, yes, for breed preservation, yeah. For that aspect.
Right.
Yeah. But... honestly, and there is the downside of mutts is sometimes you can breed two things together and you can get the worst traits from both,
right.
Both breeds. Mm-hmm. That can happen. But 9 times out of 10, the mutts that we see are the healthier of the dogs.
Right.
Like my mutt that I have, my little pit bull mix thing, she came straight out of Akron. She was apparently part of a dog fighting ring, which I believe she thinks she's a full-blood pit. but like... that dog's healthy as a horse. I can't tell you how many times she's jumped straight on my counters, eating a whole chocolate cake, a cookie cake. She's eaten so many things. That dog's still alive. I don't know. Like, I don't know. She's going to see the end of times. Like, some, some mutts are just built that way. So
that's Bailey was a mutt. He was the goofiest looking dog. He was a shepherd, a German shepherd beagle. And he had the tail of a German shepherd, the color of a German shepherd, and then this big chunky body, these short legs and this big head. He lived to be 21 or 23.
Yep.
We don't know because we got him. He was between 3 and 5 is what they told us. So he could have died at 23 years old. But hybrid vigor is what it's called in wildlife. Like what you're describing is when you kind of mix, well, that's species, but you know, these are all, dogs are all the same quote unquote species, subspecies. But when you mix them, you know, generally speaking, the offspring are better because it's just, we see it all over in nature. You know, it's hybrid vigor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, get mutts. Go to the humane societies.
Don't get a doodle, though. I'm so tired of seeing doodles. People tell me all the time, I got a doodle because it's hypoallergenic. It doesn't shed. That's not true. All dogs shed. Regardless of whether or not you see it on your floor, that dog is shedding. It just might be matting into its skin.
Mm-hmm. So, we had a golden doodle. He's the one that died of cancer. He was probably a puppy mill dog because I think it was the only dog we ever got at a pet store. And that was as long as that was my middle brother's dog that he would lean on that was trained for that.
Oh, okay.
So he could walk with it.
Mm-hmm.
Because he needed a big breed. That dog, we didn't even know it had cancer until it was gone because he just hit it.
Sometimes they just pop up. Yeah.
It was bone cancer. It was just, bad. And it was
that
like,
moves fast too.
It was instant because it's, that's when actually it was the same when grandpa died or not grandpa, grandma died.
Mm.
And that week later, we had to put him down.
Oh, wow.
It was a rough week.
Yeah.
So you ask for the papers, adopt.
Mm-hmm.
Humane societies are overflowing, guys.
They are.
Yes.
If you really want a dog, and I know I shared my horror story. That was one out of probably 15 dogs through my family's life that we've adopted through humane societies. Every other dog ever guy's been great. And that was, that dog I adopted, Kevin, was not from a humane society. I want to make that very clear. The humane society has always been very upfront. Like, you know, no kids in the home for this guy, you know, food aggression, you know, they'll tell you and like, all right, you know, so we didn't get some dogs or we had a couple dogs that were, you know, outside barn dogs, you know, that had the big heated kennel and all that. And, you know, we had we had 30 acres. They could do whatever they wanted, mm-hmm. you know, and they did. And there was the, because we used, you know, for guard, you know, guarding the baby goats and the chickens and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And a couple of them were in and outside dogs. Like Sonny would sometimes just sleep outside if he wanted to sleep at the outside and then come in and all that. But humane societies are overflowing.
They are.
Cats too. I mean,
yeah.
This one, our local one, and I joke about cats, right? They're fine animals. They're just really bad ecologically.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They're great pets. They're just,
mm-hmm.
don't get an outside cat. If you're going to get a cat, and you could take your cat outside, don't make it a permanent outside cat. Because it's just bad for the environment. But the Humane Society here, locally, is so overflowing with cats. It is ridiculous. I've gone over there a couple times and all that stuff.
Uh-oh, we had a break-in in the shack.
All right, I captured the government agent.
Okay.
And removed him.
Good work.
He's out in the cornfields now. Gosh.
That was creepy.
Yeah, the shack's out in the middle of nowhere. That guy walked a long time.
I know.
A long time. But no, I mean, it's been very, very knowledgeable. Thank you, Marcy, for coming on. It's because it's a lot of things that people don't know. I mean, how many times do you know that most time if you see a pet store dog, it very well is likely from a puppy mill of some shape, you know. I do think the local ones were. And go get dogs at Humane Societies.
Mm-hmm.
And there are dog wardens, too, you can get dogs from.
Yep.
There are, I'm trying to think, there's a third type of thing. Well, there's rescues. There's individual rescues, yep. like certain people we know do.
Yep, there are rescues, shelters, and your dog pounds or dog wardens. So, yeah, they're all kind of the same general concept. It's just some are nonprofit, some have paid employees, you know.
I trust some more than I trust others for
there
reasons.
There are definitely some shady ones out there. There's one that the clinic worked with recently that she's being charged with things right now because she was just hoarding animals and they were in horrible conditions. Like, there's some.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you got to look into your rescues and shelters, too, because sometimes, yeah, their heart's in the right place, but they're just taking on too much, and it's just not turning out the way it should.
Well, should I name our local Humane Society? Because I've only spoke positively about them.
Sure.
And I've known the two directors of the facility. I've gotten many, many dogs from them. They are, I guess, you should donate to them, right? Because they're always in need. It's the Allen County Humane Society. And I know they've gotten dogs from, like, Southern Ohio and stuff like that. And the cats, like I said, they have tons and tons and tons of cats. Go adopt a couple cats. If you're not allergic.
But keep them indoors.
But you have a fix for that. Keep them indoors. Keep the cats indoors. Or hawks and eagles will get them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we see a lot of that, actually. We see a lot of cats come in. They're like, well, this is our barn cat or our porch kitty. And they just come in ripped up. And we're like, well.
Oh,
there are predators out there.
If they're outside.
There are predators.
Mm-hmm.
No, so yeah, the Allen County Humane Society is phenomenal. The people that run it are really good. They take really good care of the pets. There are, and I believe they've been at max capacity for a decade because they're just
too much.
There's so many, and then not them, but I know Lima does a practice that I don't agree with for my reasons. Lima the city, not the Humane Society, Lima the city, where have you seen this, where they are doing what that lady does, but on a major scale?
The TNR, the trap, neuter, release, yep.
What do you think about that?
So, it's kind of a double-edged sword.
Right.
Because I love to see animals get spayed and neutered, because we're not going to have repopulation then. That's great. But I know it rubs people wrong. I am in favor of humane euthanasia, because if that animal is just going to sit and rot, or if it's just going to go back on the street to get destroyed by a predator, that's not really a good life for it. You know, give it peace. Give it a nice end. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that, but
it's hard for people.
There's too many out there.
Well, when you see both sides of it.
Yeah.
It's very, the ecological, and like you said earlier, people don't understand that, and I've been preaching that forever, is that the number one, and I don't agree. Like, we've talked about the windmills, right? The
golden eagles and the windmills.
Yeah, which I don't even believe. But we've talked about people standing up and protesting about the ecological harm that those things do.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody cares about cats.
Cats destroying
which
everything.
They kill I think the one bird estimate was like the wind turbines, they kill like 100,000 birds a year, which is a big number. Most of them are gliders, like you were talking about, the golden eagles and the, because they don't. They can't really judge that big fan coming around.
Right, right, right.
You know, so they're just gliding past. Most of them are like turkey vultures and black wing vultures and those kind of guys.
Your typical thermal vent riders.
Thermal vent riders. they kill, I think in the U.S., it's like 40 or 45 million songbirds a year.
But domestic songbirds are, you know, they're
the endangered ones.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
They are responsible for one of the birds, or one of the Birds of Paradise Islands having no birds.
Oh, yeah. That's
so they wiped off, that's I bad. Think, 20 or 30 species of bird completely off the planet. They're really, really hard on like a lot of the skinks here in the north, which are little lizards. Actually, they're responsible for making two of them endangered here in Ohio, which 150 years ago, if you flipped over a rock, there was 500 of them under. Skinks, they're at the bottom of the food chain. They're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're listed as endangered because if you tell like people in southern Ohio, people where they lived, you know, they lived up here too, but when you tell them like, yeah, there used to be skinks everywhere. There used to be lizards all over. And they'd be like, you're talking about salamander? No. Lizards. You used to have lizards and domestic house cats, wipe them off the planet, and they don't eat what they're killing, right? The problem is they are, cats are an evolutionary masterpiece when it comes to predation. They are hyperactive. Like, that's the reason why it takes a pack of wolves to kill a 900-pound elk, and it takes one mountain lion to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They are hyper-evolved for taking on prey,
and
they're highly successful in it. Cats are one of the most, out of all of the vertebrate predators, one of the highest capture rates of any of them. Domestic cats still have those instincts and get none of the relief. They're fool. They're highly intelligent. Cats are, I mean, they're really, really smart animals. Domestic house cats are really smart animals. But they have this instinct that's pent up in them. So when they get outside, they just keep killing. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know. So I, in that, you know, you're out, your inside cat you let outside is probably slightly worse depending on where you're at than just your feral cat, because your feral cat's at least eating what they're killing. Grandma and grandpa had a cat, it would just go out and kill every blue jay.
Yeah. Just to do it.
It just liked killing, it was just blue jays. It just liked killing blue jays. And it's just a fat cat. We never know how it did it. And that's what I'm saying is you don't, just because you think like, oh, this is Mittens and he's this big, lovely potato and, you know, there's no way he could kill something.
Right.
We had a severely overweight cat that would come in every time they let it outside. Would have one or two dead blue jays.
Mm-hmm. Bring him in with him?
Yeah.
Yep.
And he's just like, I killed. He would never mess with him. He's just like, I just like killing the blue ones.
Yep. And then show it off to you.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm kind of with you on
and,
the...
And I won't say like every cat should be humane.
No. We're talking about, I guess that's probably... No, these areas like where there's tons and tons and tons of feral cats.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of doing this thing where the neutering is to end it once the cat dies, which it's a hard thing. Like you said, it's a double-edged sword to where the cat's life should be valued. All life should be valued.
Right.
But these cats are also devastating tons and tons and tons of other species. So,
and we're also sending a lot of sick cats back out in the population with TNR.
Gosh, is that AIDS?
Well, so yeah, feline leukemia and FIV, those are things that are transmissible between cats. And if they have those things, they have them lifelong. So they're just spreading it from cat to cat, and it's taken over whole colonies of cats, and they're going to have chronic respiratory issues. A lot of these,
I didn't know about this. Yeah. There's cat AIDS going around?
Yes,
you didn't know about cat AIDS?
No.
Yes. I don't know. That's not probably the actual, that's the...
It's essentially what it is.
Right, yeah.
Is cat AIDS, and it is spread sexually through cats, so... They're just spreading it because all these cats are breeding. And even if they're spayed and neutered, they're still participating and trying to breed.
They don't know they're spayed and neutered.
Yeah, they don't know that. They still have the drive. So it's being spread cat to cat everywhere. And then we're seeing cats brought in to, like, somebody will find a stray cat and they're like, oh, it has a cold. I'm like, actually, nope. It has feline leukemia and we cannot fix that. That cat is going to be like that for its entire life. So, like, things like that, those should be humanely euthanized rather than released back into the population.
Do you think these cats... catch, spay, neuter, and release, do you think they're actually effective?
Yeah, I do see a decrease in populations when they're doing it, but it's still, you know, it's still an overabundance of cats in the same area. You're just releasing them back into that same population. They're still getting hit by cars. They're coming in ripped up from other animals.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, they're wreaking havoc on the environment and the community. And, you know, cats, you know, they're a living being. They deserve they deserve respect in life, but... You know, at some point, you got to recognize that this is not a fair life to them. They are scrounging for things. And in the winter, it's hard for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
There are people, like, I don't think you should kill cats. I think there are people that, you know, like we're talking about, there are programs that should take care of mass feral cat populations and kind of control this. You shouldn't be doing this yourself. You call somebody.
Yeah, I know some people that do.
Oh, gosh. I mean, when we had our one neighbor that she had probably 400 or 500 cats. Nope. Those government agents keep.
I think that one was it was a gray.
Did you see how fast it ran away?
Yeah.
The little legs, you just hear it stomping. Oh my gosh. No, so, yeah, explode cats.
What?
We're really over, but that's fine. We're talking.
Yeah.
As long as you don't got to go, Marcy. You good for a minute?
Okay. No, I'm good.
I did want to say this earlier with treatment to animals. So specifically talking about the Bible, because this is with the Amish, you know.
Okay.
Early in the Bible, it talks about how animals are put on the planet for us. Man has dominion
over
nature and wildlife.
Okay.
So yeah, dominion over nature, wildlife, all that stuff. It talks about that in the Bible. So I think that's where some of those ideas that they get of how animals are just things for people.
Mm-hmm.
But later on in the same, I believe it's the same chapter, it talks about we are also stewards of animals, and we are judged when we die. We are judged by man and beast we wronged. So that right there is talking about, you know, if you just read the first part, you're like, oh, the animals are just things for us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They are here for us, but we are also here for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people forget that kind of the last part of that is that you are responsible for your actions, cruel actions.
Right.
Against animals. But you're supposed to, and I was a vegetarian for a long time, but you're supposed to eat animals.
Right, yeah.
You know, maybe not pandas, but, you know, cows are tasty. Pigs are tasty. I love chickens. I eat a lot of chickens. But yeah, so I kind of wonder if that's where they get some of their ideas from, because man, they treat some animals rough.
Horribly.
Because you're supposed to eat animals, but animals shouldn't have a horrible life.
Right. No,
you can raise animals and they have a great life up until slaughter. Like, and you know, there are humane ways to slaughter them as well. They're not even going to feel it. Like, you don't have to treat them like they're food.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Yeah. And the food usually tastes better when you don't treat them that way.
It honestly does. People don't seem to believe that, but it really does. You can taste a difference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think we should wrap up. Marcy, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Much appreciated.
It's been a good time.
So I guess at the end of the day, take care of your animals. Take care of your pets.
Donate to humane societies. Donate to animal shelters. Look into them. Find responsible ones. Don't buy from puppy mills.
Yep. Yes.
Ask for genetic screenings and vet visits. And
if you can't adopt for that long commitment, foster. People are desperate for fosters.
There we go. Yeah, absolutely foster. Foster, source clean water, raise quail, get off the grid, and avoid what the government keeps shoving down your throat. Just reject it. Start rejecting it. You got to stand strong. The tales of Daniel and Robosaur defy explanation if you're wanting more. All my fightings, government denies. J-Clone guides you through the lies. Flat Earth claims they say there's no proof. But we know the truth. We're living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from net control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. Living proof. No life without government's hand. Manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mel's hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education fail. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by their evil. Conspiracies are all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from
from that control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app.
Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.